Chip makers remain on the chopping block despite another stellar earnings report from TSMC, highlighting growing investor discomfort with the scale of AI spending rather than doubts about AI demand itself. Judging by the market's reaction, investors will focus less on headline profit growth this earnings season and more on whether companies can demonstrate capital discipline without undermining the long-term AI story. But even that is going to be risky. Meanwhile, the rotation into financials and industrials continues, but that trade could also come under pressure if the worsening geopolitical tensions in the Middle East continue to push energy prices higher along with the yields again. So, welcome to Swissquote's daily market talk. It's Friday, 17th of July. I'm İpek Özkardeşkaya. I will try to put these pieces together and discuss what the terrible market reaction to incredibly strong earnings mean for the weeks and months to come. But before I do, and as always, please keep in mind that opinions are my own and this is not financial advice.
This show is brought to you by Swissquote.
Let's start with TSMC. TSMC announced a record profit in the second quarter of this year and a 77% profit growth compared to the same time last year. A 77% profit growth. The number was well above expectations. It actually beat the already lofty expectations by nearly 12%. Alas, the stock price fell 5%. After the earnings. Earlier this month, Samsung had fallen nearly 10% after announcing a 1900% profit surge in the second quarter as well, remember. It was also meaningfully higher than analyst expectations. So the inability to trigger a positive market reaction to such impressive quarterly results shows one thing. The pricing across chipmakers has gone ahead of itself. These companies are not only priced to perfection, but they're priced increasingly in disconnect with the shifting AI outlook. Because people are growing uncomfortable with the massive AI build-out pointing at overcapacity risks, among them the Fed chair Kevin Warsh, and investors are growing increasingly uncomfortable with the massive AI spending financed increasingly by debt pointing at over-leverage risks. But technology companies continue spending regardless. So besides a 77% profit growth, TSMC yesterday sharply increased its sales and its CapEx projections. And that is precisely the latter, the higher CapEx projection that displeased investors yesterday. Now today, the Korean KOSPI index is not trading as South Korea is on holiday. But SK Hynix ADRs took a 13% dive in the US session, while Nvidia fell 2.40% despite announcing a mega deal with Japan, who plans to build a 140 megawatt data center for its homegrown AI model for robots. 140 megawatts is enough electricity to power around 100,000 to 140,000 homes or a mid-sized city. And big Japanese groups are involved in this project, including SoftBank, Sony and Honda, while industrial names in Japan such as Fujitsu and Kawasaki Heavy Industries are also included in the broader robotics and physical AI ecosystem. Alas, that didn't help Nvidia gain investors hard yesterday, and SoftBank is down by more than 12%, yes, 12% in Japan today. Broadly, the Japanese Nikkei 225 index dives 4% at the time I'm talking here this morning, with chip makers leading losses there. And that tells pretty much about how the Korean KOSPI index would have reacted if it was trading today. Happily, it is not. But next week might not be brighter. Alphabet, Intel, and Tesla will be among the major names to reveal their quarterly earnings next week. I can't wait to see if they could turn the souring mood around. I am not sure. Looking at Alphabet, the company's stock price has been battered yesterday on news that its latest update to the Gemini model will be delayed by months. But I personally believe that the real winning trade here for Alphabet is not going to be its AI model, but it's going to be its data center, TPU chips, and its ability to monetize those infrastructure spending. It should, however, not double down down on extra infrastructure spending because investors will not be happy with it. Otherwise, TSMC earnings gave a hint, a very clear hint indeed, this week on how the news would be received by investors if they decided to double down on their spending plans. So overall, besides the banks, who banked, among other things, on massive AI spending financing, both stock and bond sales and IPOs, like mega IPOs, for example, and energy companies who actually benefited from the Iran war-led energy crisis in the second quarter, well, the earnings season will not be a piece of cake. Consumer-facing businesses will show how weakening consumer sentiment and tariffs that we tend to forget but are still there, have affected spending dynamics. The number of items sold at grocery stores, for example, fell nearly 2%, and according to Bain & Company, that is most likely due to sticker shock and stretch household budgets, meaning that passing the higher energy prices onto the clients becomes increasingly difficult for businesses. That, in return, means that the profit margins will be taking a hit. And for technology, while that 63% earnings growth estimate could be beaten, and it could be beaten quite comfortably, but even comfortable earnings beat won't be enough to bring investors back if AI spending continues to go against investors' will to see that spending slow and contained. Maybe not slow, because I'm thinking, on the other hand, big technology companies know very well that cutting AI spending would be like pulling a block from the bottom of a Jenga tower that's already shaking. It could bring the whole AI investment story crashing down. I was saying yesterday that the money that flows out of the big tech is now flowing straight into companies that are in the AI supply chain. So you see where I'm coming with this, right? The question is, what happens when the music stops? And whether the big technology would not prefer to keep the boring music going rather than hitting pause altogether. Because it starts feeling shaky. We don't know what the future holds, but what we know is that when frenzies fizzle out, they fizzle out. Netflix, for example, which was the most heated name of the pandemic months, remember, that no one talks about anymore, fell nearly 10% yesterday in the after-hours trading after releasing its quarterly results. It lost half of its value indeed since June 2025. Happily, Netflix is no longer a market-moving stock, but it is certainly contributing to the bad mood in Nasdaq futures today that are currently underperforming their US and European peers into the European Open. That tells me that the final trading day of this week looks quite bearish, and the technology sell-off is not the only reason why we see bad mood across financial markets, because the Middle East news are getting worse by the hour. The traffic in the Strait of Hormuz is now declining to the levels that we have seen in the early weeks and months of the Iranian war. And unfortunately, there is no easy resolution in sight, and the weekend could bring further escalation of the tensions. All that is spelling trouble, obviously. Now, the good news is that so far, the reaction from oil markets has been contained, more contained than the early weeks of the Iranian war. The US crude still consolidates a touch below the $80 per barrel mark, while Brent crude is steady near the $85 per barrel level this morning. And the relatively soft market reaction compared to what it could be is actually keeping US yields under control this week. The US 2-year yield, for example, is pulling down for the fourth straight session, and that's mainly thanks to a set of softer than expected CPI and PPI figures that were released this week in the United States, and that's obviously a critical factor for financial markets and risk appetite. But the bad news is, we know that the inflation relief cannot last long if energy prices continue pushing higher. Because the softer June inflation data was mainly due to the pullback in energy prices, yet they are going up again. So you don't need a master's degree in economics to guess what will come next. In this context, in Europe, for example, unlike in the US, a benchmark of European 10-year yield just kept rising throughout this week and even shortly spiked past the 3.16% mark. That was the highest level since the May peak this year, which itself was the highest level since May 2011. Interestingly, the latter is not helping the euro gain field against the US dollar, which is holding on to a safe haven gains this week, but the rotation trade, which is happening out of technology names, continues to support the Stoxx 600 index as financials and industrials continue to amass the technology capital outflows. Yet, persistent pressure on yields could compromise that rotation trade in the very short run, and that could be a problem for the global risk appetite overall when the technology stocks are not doing well either. But because investment is about chasing the next opportunity, any pullback across financial markets will give opportunity to enter fresh trades at lower prices. And if and when that happens, the rotation to financials and industries look about right from today's perspective. So this is all for this week. I'm İpek Özkardeşkaya, and thank you for joining me, and thank you for all your beautiful and supportive comments. I hope this episode of Market Talk has been helpful and it has been insightful to you. So please do not hesitate to leave your comments, your reactions and your questions below as usual. Follow us on Instagram, on X, on LinkedIn, but also on WhatsApp, Threads, Telegram and Blue Sky for regular market updates. Subscribe to our YouTube channel for daily market comments, and please, please don't forget to hit the like button on these videos to let us know that you enjoy them. So I will meet you again next week, and until then, good day trading and have a lovely weekend.
Trading and investing carry risks, including capital loss. CFDs and digital assets are volatile and not suitable for everyone. Swissquote assumes no responsibility for accuracy or losses from its use. Products and services are offered only where legally permitted.